Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Again, a couple minutes late into the 5 o'clock hour means we're only a couple minutes closer to saying hello to Nick Bosa, who's going to be joining us sometime 5:15, 5:20. We're looking forward to talking to a man that Peter King just said absolutely is going to get his Defensive Player of the Year vote. He has been absolutely spectacular. You know, when I look at what Jimmy G's future holds, Jimmy G finally holds in his hand what his future might look like. Like, it's his option going forward. And I think that Jimmy is going to look around the Niners and say, well, they basically have a younger version, a much less expensive version of me right now. You just said yourself, Ray, there's literally almost zero drop-off between Garoppolo games to Purdy games. And they've got Trey Lance, and they're not coming off of that investment. And by the way, I can wear the white hat and ride into a couple of different NFL towns and instantly be the guy who is the rising tide that improved all the boats in the harbor. How about this? Jimmy Garoppolo, New York Jet.
I don't think the Jets are good enough. And I think one of the advantages that Garoppolo has had in his time here is that for three of the last 4 years, he's been on an exceptional team. The Jets are not that. And they are not just a quarterback away. I think
they're good. They're not the same. They're not the ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha, you're a joke, New York Jets.
That only means they're better than a joke. But they managed, after a great start, to fall completely off. They're going to miss the playoffs yet again. So they're not by any means a complete team.
But what if I told you that not all their problems, obviously the quarterback doesn't play defense, and the Jets have had some defensive problems, but they've also had a very stout defense at times this year. What if I told you that all their problems on offense were related to the quarterback? And I think I can prove that here. Jets quarterbacks, where they've been ranked in quarterback rankings over the last few years. So we'll start in 2018. Back in the Sam Darnold still might be our guy era. Sam Darnold in 2018, Darnold was 31 out of 33 quarterbacks in terms of QB ratings over qualified quarterbacks. 2019, he improved, but not much. He was 27 out of 32. In 2020, Sam Darnold regressed even further, and he was 35 out of 35 qualified quarterbacks. So it couldn't get worse from that. They moved on. Zach Wilson, 2021, was 31 out of 31. Zach Wilson, this year, 33 out of 33. The Jets have had nothing shorter than the single worst qualified quarterbacking play of all qualified quarterbacks in football, going on the better part of 5 years now. Robert Saleh knows Jimmy Garoppolo, and I think is going to say, go get that guy. Jimmy Garoppolo, Derek Carr, and Baker Mayfield are going to be the three best quarterbacks on the market. I think Garoppolo fits well in New York. I really do.
He might, but I think there are two flaws in the argument. One is they still have an investment in Zach Wilson. I don't think they're cutting him loose. So he's still going to be there. And I think they're pinning their hopes not on the market, but on Mike White. I think Joe Flacco's out the door. They also have Chris Streveler, who they really like.
Shouldn't.
So I don't know. Well, maybe not. But, you know, unless they're going to get rid of him too for Garoppolo, they have a starting quarterback in White, and they have a relatively cheap backup in Streveler, and another backup who they may want to use as a trade piece later in Wilson. I don't know how they feel about Wilson. They keep saying he's still our guy, but they hate when he plays. So I think they can get accomplished what they want to get accomplished with Mike White as opposed to Jimmy Garoppolo, and for much cheaper. And I think the Jets are the kind of team that worries about cheap.
With the New York Giants back in the playoffs, you don't have time to just twiddle your thumbs if you're the New York Jets.
They've twiddled their thumbs very successfully for a very long time. And by successfully, I mean they've perfected twiddling. I don't see that as a progressive operation. And I don't think they're going to go, you know what? You drafted a quarterback 2 years ago. You drafted him second. He gotten us nowhere. I'm not trusting you to bring in another one. We got Mike White. That's who we're going to use. I don't think it's a bad idea that you're suggesting, but I think the Jets are probably the wrong situation, both for him and them.
Well, where's the right one then?
I don't know. You know, and I'm not convinced that they're going to let Garoppolo go anyway.
It's not up to them to let Jimmy go.
No,
if Jimmy
he might believe he can beat Purdy out. And he might decide, you know what? They make the money right. And it doesn't have to be another $26 million deal. I mean, his new baseline is what he's getting paid now. So if they don't have to all of a sudden, okay, we reduced your salary by 75%. Now we have to increase it by 75%. They can get him at a significantly lower cost than they were looking at 2 years ago. And they might decide, you know what? We're still not sure about Purdy. We are pretty sure what we get in Garoppolo. And if we keep everything else, we'll be fine.
We'll wrap up the Niner talk here to talk a little Warriors before we get to Nick Bosa. And when he joins us, we'll obviously get right back to football. But the 49ers have quite an opportunity in front of them this weekend. They are alive for the one seed. They beat the visiting Cardinals, who are starting David Blau at quarterback and will not have DeAndre Hopkins as a wide receiver. And if the Eagles lose, the Niners are the top seed. If the Eagles and the 49ers lose, while the Cowboys win, Dallas would be the top seed and get the bye. If the Cowboys and the 49ers lose, the Eagles remain the one seed. Again, the Eagles host the Giants at 1:25 on Sunday. That is the exact same time that the 49ers game is kicking off. It is the exact same time, Ray, that the Cowboys are visiting D.C. to take on the...
Sam Howell.
The worst mascot ever rolled out in Week 17 history. Have you seen Captain...
Captain Tutty.
Captain Tutty. Wow, that's bad.
It's bad on so many levels. I mean, starting with, it's unsightly. Two, they're trying to claim that, Tutty is what the young kids call a touchdown.
Not really.
Not really is exactly right. And third, the guys who were the Hogs are suing the team. So it's just a reminder of the fact that when you come in contact with the Commanders, you're bringing a lawyer. So it's an awful idea on every level. But it's Washington, so of course it's a bad idea on every level. That's what they are.
How much fun is that 1:25 window going to be this Sunday? Oh, it's going to be fantastic. Scoreboard watching galore. The Vikings play earlier in the morning. Kyle Shanahan was talking about how it all rolls out at the same time the Niners are going.
I mean, I think about a lot of that stuff. I don't talk about it all. We'll see how it plays out, and we'll see what the situation is. And I know one thing. We would love to be the one seed, but right now we got the two seed, and we want to make sure we at least stay the two seed. In order to do that, we need to win. Maybe if Minnesota lost before us, that wouldn't be the case, but I'm counting on us having to win to get that, and we're not going to know until the game's over whether we have a chance at the one seed. So the way it plays out, to me, there's only one thing that guys should be worried about and our team should be talking about, and that's beating Arizona.
But, of course, the follow-up question has to be, as they run through other scores on LED boards in your stadium, will you be looking?
No, I don't really like people getting on that, doing that. I might look at the scoreboard here and there for replay and fall into the score, but we'll see.
Come on. Just say, of course I'm going to be looking around what's going on. You're telling me that if we win, which is clearly the priority, and they lose,
in another city. We had a bye week? Well, of course you're going to be paying attention to what's going on. And on. I mean, you're telling me Kyle Shanahan can't think about two things at once? The man thinks about a million things at once.
He has people who can tell him what the score is, so he doesn't have to look.
Exactly.
He'll have somebody whispering it in his ear if he wants to know. But I don't think he necessarily needs to know that.
Well, he doesn't. Because he can't do anything with that information.
No, it's yeah, and I think he's one of those guys who is probably telling the truth when he says, that's just clutter. Just, I mean, we're going to do what we're going to do. Those guys are going to do what they're going to do. I mean, of all the two non-number one seeds, there's only one team he has to actively worry about being able to beat, and that's Kansas City. And he doesn't have to worry about that till the second week of February. I think they're better than Philadelphia right now. Now, in 3 weeks, that might be different.
Just clarify a couple things here. We've been told Nick Bosa might be calling us now at any minute. So, you know, phone lines are like the line of scrimmage. He can come across it whenever he wants. There's no stopping him. Did you just predict the 49ers are going to the Super Bowl, right?
No, I did not. I'm not even predicting that they'll win the conference final. I'm saying that if you just took the teams as they are right now, Kansas City is the one team I don't believe they can beat.
I think Kansas City is going to win the Super Bowl this year. I think Kansas City is the most underreported on, you know, call it Chiefs fatigue, if that's what you want. They're 13-3.
They're 13-3, but here's why.
They're the least hyped 13-3 with an awesome quarterback that's been winning, you know, an awful lot for years now, 13-3 I've ever seen.
But here's the thing. They haven't blown people out. And I think that's one of the things that generates hype. As much as it's supposed to be irrelevant, I think people look at scores and go, you know, okay, how good are you really? They beat Denver by 3.
I think it's hard. It's like the Draymond Green, it's hard to get up to play, you know, the Orlando Magic when you're in your fourth consecutive NBA Finals.
I get that, but this has been their entire season where they have to work really hard to win games. This is not a useful stat, but you know they're the team that lost at Indianapolis. They're a team that they lost to the Bengals, they lost to the Bills, but they beat Tennessee by 3 at home. They beat Jacksonville by 10 at home. They don't blow teams out. They beat Denver by 6 on the road.
Good thing Jacksonville might be a playoff team.
Well, they might be, but at the time they were awful. They beat Houston by 6. My point is, they're not looking like the dominant Chiefs team that people are always thinking that they are.
But that to me actually gives them a little more merit. You know,
it might, but you're talking about the hype, not the merit. The hype suggests that they're going, I don't know if I trust them. And by casual people talking about trust, they're talking about if they're playing at home, they ought to win by 4 touchdowns. And that's not who they've been this year. I mean, again, this is not a useful stat, but it does tell me something. They've given, at least against the spread, they've given a lot of points week in and week out. They're the second worst team in the league against the spread. They have 13 wins, and they've covered 5 times.
Well, that's how Vegas builds towers, baby.
Which I get, but that's an indication that they are not winning by double digits. And if they're not winning by double digits with that team, the hype is going to be subdued.
I'm not trying to argue with you. What is the team consistently winning by double digits? Who are they this year? I would suggest there isn't one that consistently, more often than not, won by double digits. Because it felt like that sort of went out the window in one of the everybody's kind of in the middle NFL seasons we've seen.
The Bills, the Cowboys, the Eagles. Bills are plus 157, which is essentially almost 10 a game.
It's big.
Which means the Cowboys, plus 145. You know, the Chiefs, plus 109. So there are teams that have been doing that. We're talking about hype, not
right.
Actual strength.
I also think that there is a level of, you know, who gets an opponent's best shot every week more than the Kansas City Chiefs? I mean, if you come with anything other than perfect attendance and an A plus. Yeah, perfect attendance and an A plus still gets you flunked out of the game.
Who's not doing that against the Eagles? Who's not doing? Well, I mean, the 49ers are plus 148. You know, that's a team that will pile some points on your ass.
Lately, especially.
Yeah. I mean,
Niners have scored 30 or more points in 6 of their last 9, including 33 or more in 4 of their last 5, and 37 or more now in back-to-back games. So they've really come on with the gaudy point totals lately.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, welcome Christian McCaffrey is what that is, basically.
Well, that's a welcome to Christian McCaffrey, and that's, well, we're going to let you have 13, and you'll be happy with it. That, I mean, because you can't mention McCaffrey without mentioning the defense because they work in tandem. But, yeah, I mean, that is why the hype for Kansas City is as subdued as it is. They haven't steamrolled teams. Dallas has steamrolled teams. 49ers have been doing that. And Buffalo's absolutely been doing it. So, yeah, there are teams that are doing that. Kansas City has not been one of them.
Part of the steamrolling 49ers, and really one of the biggest steamrollers in the NFL, is nice enough to join us here and now on Damon and Ratto. We go inside the 49ers locker room, presented by Harris Ranch Beef, legendary quality. Shop at your local Raley's, Bel Air, and Nob Hill supermarkets for all of your tailgate needs. Nick Bosa is having a monster year, a career-high 17.5 sacks this season. Those are the stats that are easy to see. You go looking into his pressures, you use your naked eye, you go to the way he just makes teammates better around him. It's easy to say that he has the strongest argument for defensive player of the year. Not even a half an hour ago, we were talking to Peter King, who is a preeminent NFL journalist, and said Nick Bosa has his defensive player of the year vote in his fourth NFL season. He's going to the postseason. Where they end up, though, we still do not know. And, man, it's been a hell of a ride. Nick, thank you for joining us. Damon Bruce, Ray Ratto with you. And let me just start by talking about how much I enjoy watching you play football, man. It really is fun to watch you play. You destroy games. And that's the for sports greatness means they make it look easy. You make something that is not easy look easy, Nick.
I appreciate that. That's a big compliment. I definitely have put a lot of work in, so it's not easy, but at this point, sometimes it is.
At what point do you feel that the work that you invested into your health, into your body, really changed the arc of your career? Because, if you don't mind me saying, you're pretty studly from day one. So I don't know how much more you needed to do to continue that. You've been wrecking games since your, you know, defensive rookie of the year season. And the only thing that held you back was an injury.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely helped me a lot. Just feeling healthier and improving some things. And that's really all it takes to take those, like, 5 sack jumps in a year is to just improve very minute things, and that's the NFL, so because everybody's really good, so just finding whatever way you can to improve is kind of the theme of my career.
Well, and you come obviously from a huge football family, so I don't want to mean what a personal award would mean to you. I know you're playing for team awards, and that means an awful lot to you. What would being named Defensive Player of the Year mean to your dad?
It would mean a lot to him, but he's proud of me either way, so he'd be happy if I came in second. So, but yeah, no, it's definitely a goal since you're a little kid. Whenever you start playing defense, you look at guys who have come through and won that award, and I think the number one goal when you play for an organization like this is obviously a Super Bowl, but that would be some icing on the cake for sure.
You spoke a minute ago about the minute things that you've worked on. What are the ones that you believe you are better at this year than even last year? What are the ones that you look at and go, I'm better this year than I was a year ago?
Just kind of all around, definitely getting off the ball better. I think I'm moving quicker, My strength is up, so my power rushes are more effective. And then just the more you play, the more you the more answers you find for certain offensive linemen and certain sets and punches and grabs and all the things that you see that O-linemen try to do to slow you down. So the more you play, just the more reps, you can't help but get better.
Nick Bosa here on 95.7 The Game. How much do you practice where your hand is on the line of scrimmage? I know you, well, I can't remember what game it was, but you got called for, what, offsides on back-to-back plays. And, I mean, that's just you trying to buy a millimeter there. I mean, you're practicing that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about practicing exactly where I'm lining up. You usually could use your eyeballs for that. But I don't know. That was the Chiefs game, and I just I wasn't focused enough on where I was lining up. I was kind of letting the what was going on the end of the line of scrimmage kind of mess with me, and I was trying to maybe predict plays or whatever it is, and I forgot to take a look.
Nick, obviously you guys are happy to come out of Las Vegas with a win. You said that Josh Jacobs is the best running back you've played against all year. What did you think separated him from the pack?
Just his cutting ability. Right when he gets the ball, he makes that one cut and then hits it really hard. And he's kind of old school, big dude, short and stocky. So usual arm tackles that'll slow him down don't really slow him down at all, and he's explosive. So, and I was impressed with their O-line too. They were savvy and found him good lanes, and the scheme was a little different than we faced, kind of that Belichick run game. And they took advantage of some things, but those are the kind of games that we needed to play going into the playoffs to be ready for whatever is going to be thrown at us down the road.
Yeah, that was sort of my follow-up question there. I mean, obviously, I know, you know, every player playing defense would prefer the shutout, but you do see the merits in winning a shootout, especially when you're, you know, in real-time grooming someone who's a third-string quarterback to be your starting quarterback between now and the promised land.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this league, it's never going to be the same each week. You're going to have to find multiple ways to win, and as a defense, we always hold ourselves to the standard of being the reason we win. But when you have an offense that could go and win it and win shootouts and do the things that some of these top offenses throughout the league can do, and then you hone in on what you could do on defense, and that combination is what I think could take us where we need to go.
In any normal game, how long do you think it takes you to get a full sense of who you're going up against and what they want to do? Is it a couple of series? Is it one? Is it, do you know right away because you prepped for it? Or does sometimes it take a long time?
You talk about the offensive tackle I'm facing?
Oh, the offensive tackle, the scheme you're running against, just because you're just not facing a tackle. You're usually facing a series of people.
Yeah, definitely. It takes a little bit, but the more you play in the league, the more it's a copycat league, and a lot of the run game stuff is the same throughout the year, and pass rush is pass rush. But things like the style of run game that you're going to be facing, and kind of the amount of respect that they're giving us as a D-line in terms of chipping and help and slide and all that stuff takes a little bit to get comfortable. That's probably why you see more sacks later in games and stuff like that, because you do need to get a feel for it, and you kind of need to set up what you're planning on making that game-changing play with later on.
Nick Bosa with us here on 95.7 The Game, talking about his exemplary season that he and his teammates are having. And as we said earlier, you know, wrecking offensive lines has been the family business. And, you know, how often do you speak with your brother about other O-lines, other tackles? how to beat guys when you're playing teams that he might see more often than you do? Do you share tips with each other, or is that sort of, you know, you guys are on separate teams and you're not trying to help anyone out?
No. We talk about it a lot in the off season when we're training, but I think whenever I face, like this year we played the AFC West, obviously Joey has some experience with those guys, so I would shoot him a text before in the beginning of that week, and we'd talk FaceTime usually at least once a week, so we'd talk about it. But you know, tips are only going to get you so far in this league. You got to go out and do it. And playing the edge position is kind of, there's a lot of nuance to it, but when it comes down to it, you just got to go dominate somebody. And that's the main focus I try to get my mind on when I run out there.
Not to switch gears, but the football world has been talking about what happened Monday night in Cincinnati. Were you watching the game at all? And did you spend much time, you know, watching as you know, DeMar Hamlin's situation unfolded? Or did you walk away? Did you not watch it at all? And do you have any thoughts about it?
Yeah, it was on in my house, and I didn't even think twice about it. I was watching tape, and it was kind of just on in the background. Then I realized how severe it was. And I know Joe Burrow and Sam, who play for the Bengals, so I talked to them a little bit after. But, yeah, it's just awful, awful scenario that we really haven't seen in the league. But, yeah, I'm just hoping it goes as good as it can for his family and everybody involved.
Do you think that you and your teammates would have made the same choice as the Bengals and Bills made? Because it really felt like that came from the coaching staffs, the captains, and the players themselves, that we're done here tonight, not necessarily the league.
Yeah, I do. Obviously, I have to go through it to really get an answer on that. But, yeah, it's too much, especially what they saw go on out there. It's just too much to keep going.
It was a lot. There is no doubt about it. I would love to talk about, and I've been hoping that we would get the opportunity to talk to you, because I've been wanting to talk to you about one thing in particular since this season started. I want to talk to you about your helmet.
Oh, yeah.
You could probably teach a class on that at Ohio State. I know that players get deeply involved and attached to their equipment choices. What style of helmet are you and Kittle both wearing? I really haven't seen it anywhere else in the league on anyone else. Maybe someone else is wearing it. What is that style of helmet, and why did you choose it?
Well, it's pretty simple. It's the most protective helmet you could wear, and it's called the Vices Trench. And it's basically just the Vices helmet that a lot of guys wear. I don't think the business is doing too great, so I ordered a bunch of them to make sure I have them for the rest of my career. But it's just an extra attachment for linemen that is put on the Vices helmet. And I've used the Revolution Speed with the little the newest version for most of my career. And then last year, I just was bumping my head a little bit. Obviously, we play football, and I switched to just give it a try to see if it was worth the goofy look. And I wore it last year in playoffs and didn't feel one thing. So I gave it another try this year, and it's far and away the most protective helmet for your head. People don't wear it because it's ugly and it's big, but I've gotten over that, and George doesn't really care either. So Dwelly wears it on our team too. So just
okay,
guys who are trying to protect their brain.
So you know, in preseason this year during practice with contact, I know that certain position groups were wearing, what were those crowns? They look like like an extra pillow. Guardians. Yeah, yep. Yeah, the guardian caps. Mm-hmm. You know, you obviously will do something unfashionable in the name of safety if guardian caps made the NFL safer, if they do make the NFL safer, do you think that that will eventually become an option for players to wear?
I don't know, just because it's such a big thing, and those things come off pretty easily and get all messed up. And they block the logo. I guess you could put a logo on them, but I don't need one with the helmet I got. The thing is indestructible, so I'm all good.
How many other guys in the league do you know that wear it, or are you still a small minority?
I think the reason I tried it is because I saw some O-linemen wearing it. I think a couple guys from Green Bay's O-line last year was wearing it, and I was just fed up with some of the hits I was taking. So, and I play really physically, and so I switched, and it's just like not even close. So,
you ever see the movie Spaceballs?
Yeah.
do you feel a little bit
goofy?
Do you feel a little bit like you're wearing the Spaceballs helmet?
But yeah, once you wear something enough, it kind of becomes like your image, and I think it. I mean, if anybody's going to make it fashionable, I think me and George could do it.
Look at it this way. It's going to take some serious production underneath that helmet to make it fashionable, and you guys are both absolutely putting it up. You know, did you and George have a conversation about this helmet? Do you guys hang out, or is it sort of other sides of the ball and not very often, or do you get together in your off-season programs?
Me and George.
Yeah.
Yeah, we hang out. I don't think I saw him this off-season, but just because I'm in Florida and he's in Tennessee, but we were in Vegas right when the off season started, and we hang out a decent amount throughout the season. Obviously, we're busy, but yeah, we're good friends. And he saw me wearing it, and I'm sure his wife probably told him he needs to start wearing it or something.
Nick Bosa here with us on 95.7 The Game. So we were trying to figure this out. I'm a Big Ten guy myself. Obviously, you know, your time at Ohio State. Did you ever play against David Blau when he was at Purdue? I don't think you guys met at any point in time.
I don't think we did. No, I don't know much about him.
Is he a stationary target? Does he look like two sacks to you?
I don't get too excited with the Cardinals because Kingsbury doesn't like to let our D-line have very much fun, so they're going to be ripping that ball out first read for most of the day. We just got to stop the run, hopefully get a little lead, and then go from there.
Do you take pride in being the most held player in football?
No, that is not a good accomplishment.
Well, it means they're having trouble slowing you down, I guess. I guess it's sort of a compliment, even though it's not an accomplishment.
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Are you the most yoked guy on this team? And if you're not, who is?
Oh, man, that is a tough question for me to answer. I'd say Marcelino takes that. He's a practice squad linebacker. That dude is built differently.
All right. Look out, practice squad. Look, I'm not going to bring up the Peach Bowl. It probably didn't make you happy, and I don't want to make you mad. So let me ask this instead, as a true Buckeye. How happy would you be to see Harbaugh leave that school up north just to go back to the NFL?
I kind of like him there. He fits that team up north vibe. And I like when we beat him. We haven't beat him in a couple of years, but I think he fits them really well. And he's easy not to like, so I wouldn't mind if he stayed.
Well, I tell you what, you fit this team incredibly well. I think that you've just been phenomenal this year, and I hope you keep it up and keep healthy, because I think you guys got a lot more football left in front of you. We haven't asked you at all about Brock Purdy, and I don't think you probably never expected to get that, you know, many questions about a third string quarterback in your entire life, but here we are, and this guy's just blowing out any and all expectations anyone could have for him. How impressed by him are you? Because he just recently did an article where he said he, you know, he couldn't believe he was changing next to Nick Bosa a few lockers down when he got to the 49ers. So he was obviously impressed by you. How impressed are you by him?
Oh, man, I couldn't be more impressed. Just second quarterback goes down, you think your season's in jeopardy, even with the team that we have. But he's exceeded expectations by just about anybody. And, I mean, he's been putting up points every single week and getting the ball to all of our playmakers efficiently. He's been smart with the ball. He's elusive. He could run when he needs to. He's accurate. There's really not much you could hate on so far. I think he has the best QB rating in the league since he's been in. So not bad for Mr. Irrelevant.
Not bad at all. You know, speaking of not bad, Christian McCaffrey. I mean, this guy's just, he's a perfect fit. What do you think makes him the perfect player for Kyle's offense?
I think just his mentality of wanting to perfect everything, it kind of goes along with Kyle, and he's going to continue to get better in the run scheme, just learning how to play his blocks and play the scheme. And obviously the receiving ability is great. I just think he's a perfect fit with this team because of how he works and just how important it is to him.
Nick, our friends at Harris Ranch Beef are going to send you 10 pounds of prime steaks for joining us today, and you get to choose your cut. Do you want the
I'm here, baby.
The ribeyes, the porterhouses, or the New York strips?
The strips last time were really good, but can I do an assortment maybe? Is that,
you know what, for Nick Bosa? For Nick Bosa, we're going to figure this out. We will tell Harris's Nick would like the assortment, and we'll tell them that you know where they are, and you'll be knocking on their door personally if they don't hook you up. We'll try to make it happen for you, man. Is it true? Is there a word running through the 49ers locker room? You come on with us, you get steaks?
Oh, yeah. That's might be why you keep getting guests.
Oh, no, it's definitely why we keep getting guests.
It's not because of our charm and charisma?
That, too. It helps.
Thank you very much, Nick, for joining us. Good luck the rest of the way. Good health to you, and keep it up, man. Two more. You get Alden's record. Is that true?
That is true. We need to get there.
Go get him. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. See you.
Nick Bosa here on 95.7 The Game. He was great. He opened up finally. I think it was the charm, Ray.
It's the meat. Trust me, it's the meat.
Did you hear how excited he was as soon as I got to it?
He was looking at his watch. He's going, when did they start talking beef?
He's like, he asked me a yoked question that could be like transitioning into a food group.
Only if he was a cannibal. No, I mean, I think I'm a little disappointed that he didn't say, hey, can I double the order and get an assortment? I mean, if you're going to go big.
Grandy? Passing on to sales that we need an assortment. He liked the strip steaks, but he needs some porterhouses and ribeyes too. And he's got 17 and a half sacks. So he can get whatever he wants.
I'll send it up the chain. We'll figure it out.
You run that right up the chain.
Up the chain. Good God.
How far do you think the chain goes? Where does it end, Ray?
Oh, it dies at that door.
Not the corners of true power in this nation?
No.
No?
As soon as Grandy leaves the office, that's done.
Thanks so much to the Niners for getting us Nick Bosa. He was great. He is definitely warming up to talking. I mean, we got a lot more out of Nick this year than we did in year one, for sure. So that was good, and we thank him very much for joining us. Good job on the Niners for setting that up. Good job by Harris Ranch Beef for feeding the Niners as well. And when we come on back, we've got one more note or two to pass along about how Warriors got a good little opportunity in front of them here tonight, and they should go out of their way to take advantage of it. So stick around. It's Warriors Wednesday, brought to you by Friedman's Appliance, a trusted name in the Bay Area since 1922. And our merch store, it's live and open. You can check it all out at 957thegame.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money. Now back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, a win tonight over the Detroit Pistons puts the Golden State Warriors 3 games over .500 for the very first time all season. So you should probably go ahead and do that. Pistons are 5-17 on the road. They've won only 10 games all year. The Warriors got a 5-game winning streak going. That is actually the third longest active winning streak in the NBA right now. We know that Andrew Wiggins is not playing tonight. He is out with non-COVID illness. Kuminga also out with a right foot injury. And who did you also say? Was it Jermichael Green? And not only are they going to be sat tonight, Anthony Slater reported hours ago that they are going to be pretty much scratched the remainder of this homestand. So they're going to miss tonight, Orlando, and then when the Suns get here next week.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting for them because of all the things we've talked about with this team all year, one thing rings truest. When they win, they hold the other team to 110. When they lose, it's 120 and up. No more difficult than that. And these guys ought to be able to defend because defense, even a complicated one like the Warriors play, is still the easiest part of the game.
Look, a little bit of health, a little bit of defense, a little success on the road, and they should start looking like the Golden State Warriors again. It shouldn't be that hard for them. Especially, you know, like, look, when they all get healthy, how many teams are really trotting out four guys giving the league 20 or more a night? The Warriors are very close. You got Steph dropping 30 on the league a night, Poole getting you 20 and a half a night, Clay's getting 20 right now, and Wiggins is at 19. You know, this needed to be a get-right homestand for the Warriors. They're getting right. They're not even healthy yet. I just see good things starting to come their way. I mean, I'm giving you stock-up reports on DiVincenzo, who I think is finding his place on this team. Kuminga, even though he's injured right now, he's starting to find himself in his game. Lamb, look, I kept on asking, why are they going to this guy? Why are they continuing to play him? Because he works for them. He works. The guy grinds. He does. He does all the dirty little, nasty little, ugly things that if Draymond's not on the floor, they're not doing them.
Well, if he doesn't grind, he can't be in the league. It's simple as that. And it's not just about being here. It's about, that's what his talent level is. You grind or you go.
But look, as we start looking at this league, assessing who's got what, who's going to be positioned where, I just see this. Steph, Poole, Clay, Wiggins, Draymond, Looney, DiVincenzo, Kuminga, Lamb. That's nine guys. That's all you're really playing in the postseason anyway. You know, it's a nine-man rotation. And if Andre Iguodala is going to show up and do anything, you figure they're saving him for when the lights are burning the brightest in the postseason.
Well, that's what they've said, yeah.
So you throw him into that mix. Patrick Baldwin Jr. has got a little bit of an opportunity to show he's got a reason to get played. So, and by the way, he's probable for tonight. Given who's not going, I hope he can go because he's got minutes waiting for him tonight if he can play.
He'll be played.
Warriors just getting more and more interesting.
Otherwise,
more and more interesting. every single time we look up and at them. And it's been one of their most interesting seasons, only because you officially never know what you're going to get. I mean, the Warriors, if anything, their sin was becoming too predictable, too successful.
Well, but they're weird, and they're still weird now. Because, again, they're 20-18 on merit, because they don't defend well enough, often enough, to be the Warriors you're thinking of. When they do that, the dynamic will change. And as long as it takes them to figure out how to do that, that's how long they're going to be weird. I mean, as much as we love to talk about offense, the fact is this dynasty was built on their ability to keep other teams from doing what they wanted.
Since we're talking about injuries and returning from them, the 49ers opened up Elijah Mitchell's practice window today, so they're going to have 21 days to evaluate him as ready to go again and put him back on the roster, unless there's any sort of regular season, postseason reset of the protocol that it takes there, Ray. Do you know?
I don't believe there is. I believe 21 days is 21 days.
McCaffrey, Greenlaw, Kinlaw were all held out of practice today for precautionary reasons and a little nursing, if you will. Both Nick Bosa, who was just fabulous with us just a moment ago, and Trent Williams got vet days off today. Great day out of Peter King today. Really good interview with him, and thanks an awful lot to you, Ray.
You can't do that with a straight face.
No, I can't.
I can't do it with a straight face.
Because tomorrow, do you know who you're working with tomorrow?
I believe it's that criminal Gleason.
Oh, Whitey. Be nice to him just once. He's such a good guy.
He's a turd.
He's such a good guy. Well, speaking of that, you know, I'm not going to be the guy who films it for you to make a public service announcement, but I feel like since I'm officially going in for one of these, and it's a thing that guys worry about, I'm just going to share it. The reason why I'm not going to be in tomorrow, which is I look at, you know, some of our streaming things and our messages here. Well, there's a guy named Doug Handler who just does not like me. Well, Doug, I got two good pieces of news for you tomorrow. Whitey Gleason will be in for me tomorrow, and someone's going to be completely up my rear end, and it's not you on the text line. I'm getting my first colonoscopy tomorrow, Ray.
You described it in such a way that I hope it goes poorly.
Well,
just put an image in my head that I'm going to have to boil my brain to get out.
How do you think they do these things?
I know exactly
how
they
do. Check my ear?
I know how they do them. I've had them done. But you explaining it to me and having me think about it, that's just wrong.
Is there anything I should know? You got any colonoscopy advice for me?
They'll put you out. You'll be groggy the rest of the day. And it might carry over till tomorrow. But hope that you're clean as a whistle.
I got jokes, but I'm not going to share any of them with you. I will tell you, though, that John Dickinson, clean as a whistle, as a broadcast.
Yes, what a segue this will be.
John Dickinson is coming up next, brought to you by Fremont Bank. It's Warriors Live. He's going to get you ready with Warriors and Pistons next year on 95.7 The Game. Again, thank you very much to Peter King, to Nick Bosa for joining us. John, thank you for filling in for Lucas. That green wave flu, man, it really got him. Took him right out. Took him right out.
He's a malingering fraud.
Thank you. Grandy, awesome job out of you today. Really appreciate everyone tuning in. Get home safe. Bomb cyclone. Looks like it's gone off a little anyways. So be careful out there. I hope you all sandbag everything and don't get flooded wherever you are. Me, hopefully no flooding tomorrow.
Anything else, Ray? You can't help yourself. This is why I hope they do this with a driver.
Oh, colonoscopies don't build character. They reveal it.
Ugh.
And like that, he's gone.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.